If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, a word for America 2 days away from the election. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Paul writes, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good." And let's pray. Lord, just thank you so much for your word, and pray that you would just show us, Lord, 2 days away from the most important election in the history of this country, Lord, what we Christians and what the church needs to be doing. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Saturday, September the 28th, Ray Ortland, the pastor of the big Emmanuel Church in Nashville, Tennessee, tweeted this out on social media. "Never Trump, this year Harris, always Jesus." Endorsing Kamala Harris for president and making it look like Jesus would do that too. And folks, Ray Ortland is not some woke heretic waving BLM banners and marching in gay pride parades. He is a very conservative Bible-believing pastor, very conservative church. The guy taught Hebrew at the seminary that I went to. Endorsing Kamala Harris for president. And folks, sadly enough, he's not alone, because all over America right now, all kinds of conservative Bible-believing Christians and pastors and churches are dumping on Donald Trump and voting for Kamala Harris and telling you to vote for Kamala Harris too. People, what in the name of Adam D. Kinziger is going on? What in the world is going on with churches and Christians and pastors? And what in the world should Christians and churches be doing with election 2024? The text we have in front of us this morning answers that question. We turn today to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. In this part of Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is telling us Christians how we're supposed to be living the Christian life. And in our text today, he tells us three things that we need to do so we can do everything in a Christian way. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, our nation will never ever survive the attacks that are coming against us right now if we don't, Christians don't do election 2024 in a Christian way too. Amen. Our text this morning, Romans chapter 12 verse 9, tells us three things that we need to do with election 2024 to save this country in these last days before it's too late for sure. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do with election 2024, we need to show love. And that's exactly what it says here in verse 9. And notice it doesn't just say to love, because that's a given. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14, we Christians do everything in love. Notice it says, love must be sincere, which literally means without deception or being a hypocrite. Like Bill Clinton saying, "I feel your pain." Or Joe Biden looking at his watch during the transfer of the remains of the 13 U.S. Marines that he got killed in Afghanistan back in 2021. Or Kamala Harris saying she knows what it's like to grow up in a middle-class family, so she's going to lower food prices. Folks, she ain't going to lower food prices because she's the one who raised them. Amen. And you can't get an arsonist to put out the fire. Love's got to be real. Love must be sincere. And when this coming election, you show that love by voting. All government ultimately comes from God. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. And the constitutional republic that we have here in America is a gift from God. So that when we the people participate in that government by voting, we're not only showing love for God, we're also showing love for our country. Amen. And because all politics is policy that affects people's lives, when we vote for good policy, we're showing love for our neighbor too. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, be fruitful and multiply. Christians, you multiply your Christian influence by voting for Christian people and Christian policies to make the country more Christian. Make America godly again. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, you are called to be salt and light, not salt and lime and a shot of tequila. Shot and light, salt and light. So when you don't vote, you're hiding your light under a bushel. Salt slows down decay. When you don't vote, you don't slow it down, you ramp it up. We're not Jehovah's Witnesses, people. You got to gird up your loins and go vote. Amen. Sadly enough, too many Christians in America today don't vote at all. Of the 240 million Americans who specifically identify as Christians, only 90 million are registered to vote. And of that number, only a fraction of them actually do vote. Arizona State University says 32 to 40 million Christians will not vote in the 2024 election. Last August, that 23-year-old perv was caught looking in the bedroom window of a 15-year-old girl in Bourbonnais, Illinois. And when the cops got there, they didn't take him and arrest him. And why? Because the New Woke Safety Act says he can't be detained. The Safety Act brought to you by leftists in Illinois that Christians in this state will not vote out of office. We've got to vote. Don't have to tell the leftists to vote. They got all kinds of organizations pushing it. Swing Left, Rock the Vote, MoveOn.org, Souls to the Polls. The most powerful organization on the face of the earth today is the Democrat Get Out the Vote operation. Chasing ballots, ballot harvesting, getting dead people to vote. The left is going to vote twice as hard. Christians, we got to vote twice as often. Amen. Or no, I didn't say that. 40 million Christians will not vote this coming Tuesday. Listen to me. If we lose this election and we lose this country and we lose our freedom, it will be because of the silence and the consent of the Church of Jesus Christ. And don't tell me God won't judge us for it. And you know the biggest reason why too many Christians don't vote? Because they've got this absolutely stupid idea that Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics. And it's straight from the pits of hell. Amen. Pastor Lauren Livingston of the huge mega central church, Charlotte, North Carolina, said this: some of you Christians bring politics into the church. Politics is of this world. It's not your duty to be political about this and that. Your duty is to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and spirit, and love your neighbors yourself, and not get involved in political stuff at all. And I want to tell you, that is absolutely ridiculous. And you know where that attitude comes from? It comes from pietism in the Reformation. It said if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you should have nothing to do with worldly things, including politics. So there's two kingdoms, church and government, and never the twain shall meet. Folks, that's exactly the opposite of what America was founded on. And it's that absolute nonsense that let Nazis load Jews in train cars during World War II, while Christians all over Europe sat in their churches singing, "They'll know we are Christians by our love," and not doing anything to stop it. Hey, that's government. I'm staying in my lane. Folks, if Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics, we wouldn't even have a country, because America was founded by Christian nationalists. The idea that Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics was invented by the devil to keep Christians from running their own country. And folks, it's not even biblical. God used all kinds of people in the Bible in politics and in government. Joseph and Daniel and Jeremiah and Esther. Part of John the Baptist's calling was to take on King Herod Antipas. Jesus mixed it up with the chief priests and the Pharisees, who was the government of the people of Israel of that day. God created three institutions: family, government, and church, in that order. You tell me, where in the Bible does God ever say to steer clear from any one of them? He doesn't. Christians shouldn't have anything to do with politics. Why? Because only atheists are qualified to do it? It says we the people, not we the non-Christian people. And I've heard from a billion pastors in the last 31 years, "Kevin, it's our job just to feed the sheep." Pastors, it is not your job just to feed the sheep. It's also your job to fight off the wolves. Amen. You cannot stand in front of a church full of people and just tell them, "Oh, you got to vote for the person of your choice." You've got to tell them who the sheep are and who the wolves are and how to take on the wolves. And pastor, you've got to be willing to take on the wolves yourself. And do you know why too many pastors don't do that? Because seminaries and pastors today train for peacetime, and this is wartime. I've heard it 100 times a week. "Kevin, your church is too political." Listen to me. It is not a sin for Christians to be involved in politics. It is a sin for Christians not to be involved in politics. Because what happens when we aren't? Population of Illinois is 12,591,863. Of that number, just 5,591,724 Illinois citizens are registered to vote. So the governor's race, 2022, J.B. Pritzker got 2,197,760 votes. Darren Bailey, 1,717,777. So today we have got totally unrestricted, taxpayer-funded abortion in Illinois up to the very nanosecond a baby is born. We got a safety act that doesn't keep anybody safe except the criminals themselves. We've got the highest black unemployment rate in the entire Midwest. We got the second highest property taxes in the country. We spent over $4 billion just trafficking illegals around Illinois, $4 billion. And why? Because only 18% of the people of Illinois reelected a Bolshevik named J.B. Pritzker, while the other 72% of the people in this state, including millions and millions of Christians, sat home on election day and scrolled on their phone. If the people who benefit from this country are not even willing to stand up and defend it by going and casting a vote, then people, it really is over with for sure. Love must be sincere. And that also means you vote for the person who shows that kind of love the most. And in this election, that's a no-brainer. The left is constantly saying, Donald Trump doesn't care about people, he only cares about himself. It's Kamala Harris that cares about people. Really? Because everything about Kamala Harris is an act. She ran for Senate in 2016 as the first Indian American senator in U.S. history. Notice she said absolutely nothing about being black. So 2 weeks ago, she's campaigning in a black barber shop in Philadelphia. A black barber looks at her and says, stop pretending to be black. And what happens? Kamala Harris starts crying because she knows she's not being honest. Now, I couldn't care less what color she is, but it tells you everything you need to know about her. She's not real with people. And that's the reason she does that all the time.
Hello to all my divine nine brothers and sisters. And my soul. You better thank a union member for the 5-day work week. And you all helped us win in 2020, and we're going to do it again in 2024.
Constantly switching up different accents according to the different people that she's talking to. And that's a sign of disrespect. The left calls that cultural appropriation, and it's supposed to be racist. But I guess it's okay when the leftist does it. Now, let me ask you, does Donald Trump ever do that? No. He speaks exactly the same way, no matter what kind of people he is talking to. Now, you tell me, who's sincere and who isn't? And Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of California. She demanded that everyone in her office call her general. And she had 92 different staffers quit on her during her 4 years as vice president because they couldn't take the arrogance and the temper. When she went to Western North Carolina to meet with victims of Hurricane Helene, she was wearing a belt that cost more than the piddly $750 that her administration gave to the people who lost everything they had. And there's Kamala Harris trying to talk to a girls' basketball team in inner city Detroit. Girls so poor they have absolutely nothing, and yet she's wearing a luxury $64,000 necklace. Kamala really cares about people and relates to regular people, my eye. Love must be sincere. Now compare that to what Donald Trump does. Last October the 21st, Donald Trump went to McDonald's in Feasterville, Pennsylvania, because he loves eating at McDonald's, and he wanted to show everybody he really did work at McDonald's, and Kamala Harris never did. And he spent about 15 minutes working the French fry station and passing out food to people going through the drive-thru. And you say, Kevin, that was all staged. Well, duh, 4 assassination attempts on the guy's life so far this year. The Secret Service was not about to let the President of the United States go to a fast food restaurant and stick his head out the drive-through window without everything being locked down. Not even this Secret Service. Amen. But notice the event was staged, but the interaction that he had with the people there wasn't. Here's a part of what that looked like.
And then this one we got dumping over here. But this one's clear for us, so we can put it right into here.
Let's
do it. One back there, good. And then you can hang that one right back over there. Thank you.
And then, Joe, you're an expert at this, huh?
Yeah.
How long have you done this? How long have you been?
I've been working with Donald
for 10 plus. 10 plus, yeah. All different jobs. She doing a good job?
Does an excellent job.
She better, right?
Does an excellent job.
She's beautiful. Let's go.
For the first order. Yeah.
Well, that's a good looking group. Hello, everybody. This is not a normal situation, is it? I tell you, what a good looking family.
Oh, thank you.
How did you figure this out? Oh, they look like
you.
They look like you. How are you? Nice to see you. Thank you.
All right.
We
appreciate all the support. Thank you. Right here.
Thank you.
We'll have you in Bucks County.
And there'll be no charge. Trump is paying for it.
Is that okay?
Now, here's what the Trump-hating media had to say. I felt sickened by every picture and article about it because Trump was making that kind of work look so demeaning. Here's another. What an insult to all the hardworking people in the fast food industry. Here's another. More disrespect from an arrogant racist making fun of people who make a lot less money than he does. Is that what you saw there? No. He was chatting up the employees. He was very humble. He was letting the French fry guy tell him how to dump the French fry basket. And did you catch what he said to the people going through the drive-thru?
Yes.
Did you hear him tell that guy you're not an ordinary person? That's not an act. That's not a put on. That's not cultural appropriation. Do you know why Trump and McDonald's broke the internet? Because 42 million Americans have worked at McDonald's. And six times that many eat at McDonald's all the time. And even though Donald Trump is a famous billionaire and president of the United States, he is a real regular person and he can relate to real regular people. And let me ask you, could Kamala Harris have ever done something like that? Absolutely not. Because she's one fry shot of a Happy Meal and she could have never even thought of doing something like that. Love must be sincere. So you tell me, which one of those two people are showing that kind of love the most? The first thing we need to do with election 2024, we've got to show love. We want in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do with election 2024. We not only need to show love, we also need to hate everything that's evil. And that's also what it says here in verse 9. So sorry, all you snowflakes. The Bible does tell us to hate. Not hate people, but hate evil. David says, Psalm 119, verse 128, I hate every evil thing. So everything that slams God and trashes this country and hurts innocent people, we hate. Amen. If we hate every evil thing, that means we have to hate everything that the left stands for because it's all evil. Amen. They hate school choice, as you can tell by the spelling on that campaign sign in that guy's yard. The left hates this country. See all the protesters marching through the streets of our cities last summer, screaming death to America? They hate the Lord. See Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer mocking Holy Communion by giving that activist a Dorito chip like it's a communion wafer? While the rapper Nelly's song Dilemma is playing in the background? Joe Biden and Kamala Harris changed Easter Sunday to National Transgender Day of Visibility? Kamala Harris kicked Jesus and two Christians out of her campaign rally in La Crosse, Wisconsin last October the 19th. And to this day, no explanation, no apology whatsoever. Yep. The left hates you, conservative Christians. And this goes way back. Barack Obama called you bitter clingers. Hillary Clinton called you deplorables and the smelly Walmart people. Last year, Joe Biden called you chumps and dregs and semi-fascists. March 17, 2023, tranny Audrey Hale shot and killed six Christians at the Covenant Christian School in Nashville, Tennessee. Six Christians, three of them little kids, point blank, cold blood, just because they were Christians. You know what Kamala Harris did? She posted this on social media. We celebrate trans and binary Americans. We see you and we will never stop fighting for you. Absolutely nothing about the believer. See, the real victims were not the Christians who were killed. The real victims are the poor, oppressed, transgender people, one of whom did the actual killing. Yep. Kamala Harris is for they, them. Donald Trump is for you. Last Monday night, Joe Biden finally woke up and said that.
Or Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters.
So all of us Trump supporters, half the people in this country are just pieces of garbage. Folks, Abraham Lincoln did not even say that about the Confederacy after 5 years of civil war. And Joe Biden is just saying there what the left really, really thinks about us. They think we're garbage and we will be treated as such. You have no idea. You have no idea how much the left hates conservative Christians. That's why they're trying to replace you. But Trump supporters, listen to me. You are not garbage. You're not deplorables. You're not chumps. You're not bitter clingers. You're not semi-fascist. You are born again, spirit-filled children of the living God, patriotic followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who love God and love your country. And they don't. Jesus said, John chapter 15, verse 18, the reason they hate you is because they hate me. This current administration absolutely hates you. So vote accordingly. We want to hate everything that's evil. We got to hate the policies of the left because they're all evil. Telling little children created in the image of God that they are born in the wrong body and that slicing and dicing them and sterilizing them for the rest of their life is somehow going to solve their problems. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, anyone who leads a little child astray, better for that person to have a millstone tied around their neck and be cast into the heart of the sea. Late term partial birth abortion. You ever seen a picture of it? Why doesn't the left or the American Medical Association ever show us a picture? Doctor reaches in and pulls out the entire baby except the head that he purposely leaves inside the mother. And finds that soft spot on top of the baby's skull. Takes a syringe with a 7-inch needle, stabs that baby through the top of the head, suctions its brains out with that syringe, and delivers the baby dead. People, that's not an abortion, that's an execution. And Kamala Harris has the gall to talk about women's rights. Half the babies that are killed by that procedure are women. And Kamala is constantly telling us Christians, you don't have to give up anything you believe in order to support a woman's right to choose. Are you crazy? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, God hates, he absolutely hates hands that shed innocent blood. Kamala Harris's campaign website, she says she is a deeply committed Christian. Seriously? Because her entire campaign is greased on the blood and guts of unborn babies. 3 John chapter 1, verse 11, there is no way in the world that you can support and push that kind of evil and still know God. Last June the 26th, Houston, Texas, 12-year-old Jocelyn Nungar met two guys at a 7-Eleven who took her under a bridge and beat her and raped her all night long. Then they strangled her to death and threw her body in a drainage ditch and left it there for rot. Very next morning, her mother, Alexis Nungari, and the cops found that girl's body 2 minutes away from her house. No pants on, hands and feet tied, murdered by two illegals from Venezuela. 3 weeks, just 3 weeks after Kamala Harris's wide open border policy let them into this country. Interview with Brett Baer when he asked Kamala Harris if she owes the Nungari family an apology for the policy that allowed that murder to happen. This is what Kamala Harris said.
This is a specific policy decision by your administration to release these men into the country. So what I'm saying to you, do you owe those families an apology?
Let me just say, first of all, those are tragic cases. There's no question about that. There is no question about that. And I can't imagine the pain that the families of those victims have experienced. It is also true that if a border security had actually been passed 9 months ago, it would be 9 months that we would have had more border agents at the border, more support for the folks who are working around the clock trying to hold it all together.
Madam Vice President.
To ensure that no future harm would occur.
Hear that? Not my responsibility. Donald Trump's fault. Kamala Harris never called the Nungari family. But you know what? Donald Trump did. The nanosecond he found out it happened, the very next day, June the 27th. And you know when he called when he found out? 10 minutes before his debate started with Joe Biden. He was on the phone with that mom. Kamala Harris never called the victims of the transgender shooting at the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee. Do you know what? Donald Trump did. Kamala Harris never called the families of the 13 Marines that her withdrawal policy got killed in Afghanistan. But you know what? Donald Trump did. Psalm chapter 97, verse 10, those who love God will hate evil and will stand up and try to do something about it. More than anything else, the left just hates Donald Trump. Here's your typical white dude for Kamala.
What's your biggest obstacle in life right now?
My biggest obstacle in life? Trump. Trump, absolutely.
So do you wake up and think about him?
Yes, constantly, every day.
Do you go to sleep and think about him?
Yes, every day.
Are you in love with him?
I hate his guts.
The left absolutely hates Donald Trump. And you know why? Because the vast majority of people that hate him, they don't know why themselves.
That's right.
But I'll tell you, they hate Donald Trump because Donald Trump, believe it or not, is connected with all kinds of prophecies in the Bible. Now, the leftists, all the Trump haters, they think Donald Trump is in the Bible too, because they think Donald Trump is the Antichrist, the little horn who becomes great and magnifies himself. Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. The man of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, who glorifies himself over everything that is called God. Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, that the Antichrist receives a head wound, and the left thinks that was when Donald Trump got shot in the ear in Butler, Pennsylvania. Joy Behar said on The View that Donald Trump is the Antichrist, and whenever Trump followers wear their MAGA hats, that's the mark of the beast on their forehead. And people, it's absolutely ridiculous. Brought to you by people who don't know beans from apple butter about the Bible. Because the Bible says the Antichrist comes from Europe and he's part Syrian. And he sets up an image of himself in a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And Revelation chapter 13, he receives a head wound in the head though. And it's mortal. He dies and then comes back to life. One of those miraculous lion signs and wonders of the last day. You ever heard Donald Trump doing anything like that? No. And Revelation chapter 13 says the mark of the beast is something in a person's forehead, like a microchip. Literal Greek, not on somebody's forehead, like a MAGA hat. Trump derangement syndrome is real, people. It's very real. Donald Trump is mentioned in all kinds of prophecies. From 1888 to 1893, an American lawyer and author named Ingersoll Lockwood wrote a series of books called the Barron Trump novels. Books like The Marvelous Journey and The Last President. About a 10-year-old boy named Barron Trump, who is guided by an older man named Donald, who's very rich and lives in a penthouse on Fifth Avenue in New York City, like where Trump Tower is located. And in that book, The Last President, the entire country is in an uproar because Donald wins the presidential election, an election that nobody thought he would. And to help him out, he appoints as his vice president a man named Mike Pence. Sound familiar? This was written in the late 1800s. And every single picture that Ingersoll Lockwood drew about Barron Trump in that book looks exactly like Barron Trump today. You don't think there's something about Donald Trump? Number 7 in the Bible is the number of God's perfection and completion. And Israel is God's chosen people. And there's this absolutely mind-blowing connection with Donald Trump and Israel and the number 7. Donald Trump was born exactly 700 days before the founding of Israel on May 14, 1948. In 2016, he beat Hillary Clinton by 77 votes in the Electoral College. On his first full day in office, Donald Trump was 70 years, 7 months, and 7 days old. He was elected on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's 7th year, 7th month, and 7th day in office. December 16, 2017, Donald Trump declared that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, and that was exactly 70 years and 7 days from the founding of Israel. Donald Trump was born May 14, 1946, on Flag Day in America. So he was born to make America great and patriotic again. And he was born during a blood moon or a lunar eclipse that the Bible says is a sign of the end times and the coming of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, verses 30 to 31. Then exactly 7 months after his first full day in office, there was a total solar eclipse over the United States, only in the United States. And that hadn't happened since 1776, the year the Declaration of Independence was signed. And there was another blood moon on January 19, 2019, on the second anniversary of his inauguration. On the exact halfway point of his presidency, April 7, 2019, there was another blood moon. And then another one exactly 7 months later on Election Day 2020, when Donald Trump would have been reelected if the left hadn't stolen it away. Is your head exploding yet? Daniel chapter 8, prophesying in the last days. There will be a goat, the leader, a king of the West. And back then it referred to Alexander the Great, but verse 17 of chapter 8 also says that verse will serve as a prophecy for the last days. So in the last days, there will come a leader of a great Western nation. And he will have the personality of a he-goat, Daniel chapter 8, verse 3. And he will be insulted by small slights, Daniel chapter 8, verse 7. And verse 11, what will he do? I kid you not, literal Hebrew, it says, he will make his country great again. And he will attack Persia from the air. Now, Persia is Iran. The only way you attack from there is a modern air force. That prophecy is talking about today. Who in the world do you think that's talking about? A person with a personality of a he-goat who comes in the last days to lead a great Western nation, who's not afraid to go after anybody who comes after him, who's going to make his country great again, who will attack Iran because right now Iran is in a war with Israel. And because there's five death squads in America right now from Iran that are trying to take him out. People, if that's not talking about Donald Trump, then I am Taylor Swift and all of her backup singers. And that prophecy goes on to say, the seat of his power will be broken when an unthinkable thing happens. And that will start a series of national and international events that will bring about the little horn and the coming of the Antichrist. Which means, if Donald Trump gets elected this coming Tuesday, people, he could very well be the last president that the United States of America ever has. The last president before that unthinkable thing happens, the rapture of the church that throws the entire world into chaos and brings about the coming of the Antichrist.
Hallelujah!
What do you know? The Bible never specifically talks about the United States of America, but the Bible mentions Donald Trump. No wonder they hate him so much. No wonder they want to put him in jail. No wonder they want to kill him and take him out. And why? Because just like you, Christian, just like me, just like the nation of Israel, Donald Trump is chosen by God to do something very special in this world. So Christians, listen. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Absolutely, hate everything that's evil. But one of those things you shouldn't be hating is Donald Trump. The second thing we need to do with election 2024, we need to hate what is evil. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do with election 2024. We not only need to show love, we not only need to hate evil, but third, we need to cling to what is good. And we also see that in verse 9. And people, listen to me. We better be clinging to what is good because most of what's happened to America right now is not good at all. Because our nation is under attack from every side. The World Health Organization, said this, the biggest obstacle to one world government and the dream of a united humanity is the United States of America. Gazillionaire George Soros, who's dedicated his entire life to destroying this country, said this, the biggest obstacle to a stable and just world is the United States. And for decades, George Soros has used his billions to buy off politicians and courts and judges and prosecutors and DAs. He bought up magazines and newspapers and radio stations to shut down all kinds of conservative content. George Soros has funded everything from the BLM riots to Antifa to all the caravans of all the illegals pouring across our southern border into our country. Anything to take America down. And now his son, Alex Soros, is in charge of his evil empire. And last September, there's a picture of Alex Soros having a meeting with Democrat vice presidential nominee Tim Walz. Meaning what? The fix is already in. This election's already been manipulated and stolen by George Soros, just like the last one was. Last Monday night, Kamala Harris had a huge campaign rally in Washington, D.C. Over 70,000 people. The picture there is what the mainstream media wanted you to see. The video shows you what was really going on behind the scenes that they didn't want you to see.
It just keeps going. Talking about some revolution. They want a revolution. I don't know. Let's just watch. Literally, I can't stress this enough. This is her whole crowd. They're either Boston people or free Palestine people. There's no normal people. No normal people. Oh. Antifa revolution. Antifa revolution. Very nice shit.
Anarchists screaming death to America, death to Israel. See what happens? Kamala Harris gets elected. Whatever you do, don't vote blue. Communist Party USA has been working to destroy America ever since World War II. And for years and years, they always ran their own presidential candidate, candidate for president. Notice they haven't done that since 1984. And why? Because the Communist Party USA has already so successfully co-opted the Democrat Party in America, every communist now just votes for whoever the Democrat is because the agenda is almost the same. What does that tell you? Folks, everything about Kamala Harris and her campaign is communism. Communism creates imaginary enemies and said, you need us to protect you from them. Yeah. And it's all about erasing differences between people and making everybody equal. Equity, Kamala calls it. And it's about separating children from parents, which is exactly what the transgenderism movement is all about, to destroy families. And any disagreement is called misinformation, and it's dangerous. And it has to be censored. Does any of this sound familiar? Communism comes, you've got to get rid of all your culture and all your heritage and all your traditions. Chairman Mao even changed the language of the people in China. Can't read your history books. You can't know your history. Everything is all about forgetting the past because we're going to be progressive. We're going to change. Kamala Harris's campaign slogan is a new way forward, unburdened by what has been. We ain't going back, she says. We ain't going back. People, that's communism. When Donald Trump talks about the enemy within, he ain't being fascist, he's being honest. We've got to cling to what is good. Cling to what is good means we got to cling to what is good about Donald Trump. Well, Kevin, he's been married 3 times. Stop right there. I've known everything about Donald Trump for 40 years, ever since the 1980s. But let me ask you this morning, what's the alternative? Everybody talks about Donald Trump's past. What about Kamala Harris's past? You think she's been sweet Polly purebred? Kamala Harris got her political start having an affair and nailing San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown when she was just 29 and he was 61 and married with 3 kids. And when he got to be Speaker of the House of the California Legislature, he started getting her all kinds of political jobs like lawyer and prosecutor and DA and attorney general. Kamala Harris slept her way to the top. And her husband, Doug Imhoff, beat and slapped his first wife. That's why she got a divorce. And he got their nanny pregnant and abandoned the baby. Gee, Kevin, I thought Kamala and Dougie were Ken and Barbie, the all-American couple. That's what the media says. Back in the 1980s, Tim Walz was sleeping with the daughter of a Chinese Communist Party leader. 1996, he got a DUI and then told the cops the reason he was drinking is because he was suffering from PTSD from being in combat. He's been lying about that long. Remember that old song? You can't even run your own life. I'll be danged if you run mine. What would Jesus do? I'll tell you what Jesus wouldn't do. Sure or shooting. Jesus wouldn't vote for Kamala Harris for president. Amen. But the biggest problem we have in this election are all the Christians who will not vote for Donald Trump no matter what. So-called Christian leaders like Ed Stetzer, Dina Wheaton College, and Ray Ortland, and John Piper, and David French. Christian leaders who live in their big evangelical bubble echo chamber where their biggest concerns are bigger churches and nicer sneakers and better book deals. People that have absolutely no clue what regular people have to deal with. No clue how time the short really is. No clue the danger that our country is really in. They just hate Donald Trump. Here's how crazy it is. David French actually said this: to save conservatism and to save our democracy, I am voting for Kamala Harris. People, on what planet, in what parallel universe, does voting for Kamala Harris save our democracy and save conservatism? It doesn't. And these people are Pharisees. Because the Bible is filled with all kinds of flawed people that God used to do great things. Samson was a womanizer. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Peter denied 3 times even knowing who Jesus was. Paul had Christians arrested and even killed. I could go on and on. So why couldn't God use Donald Trump? Folks, you're not voting for a bestie. You're not voting for the Pope. You're not voting for the pastor of your church. You're voting for president. And you never get everything that you want in a president. Heaven's sakes, you never get everything you want in a husband or a wife. And you're not voting for a person, you're voting for a policy. Which one of those 2 people has a policy that's going to help America be more Christian? And the answer is Donald Trump. Christians like to post this cute little meme here for everybody to see, with a donkey and an elephant and the lamb in the middle. And it says, I'm not for the donkey, I'm not for the elephant, I'm for the lamb. Well, ain't that nice? But the lamb ain't running for president this year. Jesus ain't on the ballot, people, but Jezebel is. Kamala Harris is anti-God, she's anti-Christian, she's anti-American, she's anti-freedom, she is anti-gender, marriage, and family, she is anti-life. So there's no way in the world you can go to church and pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, and then go to a voting booth and vote for Kamala Harris for president. I'm voting for Donald Trump. And not because I'm a Republican, but because I am a Christian, and because I'm an American, and because I'm not stupid, because I know that countries need borders, and that men can't get pregnant, and that unborn babies are human beings. Christianity Today said this in their further descent into madness. In a binary election with choices like these, not voting may be the best way for many Christians to heed their consciences and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. True painter John Piper said this, Christians are free to not vote at all. Yeah, that's the Christian thing to do. Sit back while the greatest, richest, freest, most powerful, most Christian nation in the history of the whole wide world goes to hell in a handbasket. They're trying to take your country away from you. If you don't vote in this election, you don't make a decision about what kind of country that you're going to live in, I guarantee you that the choice is going to be made for you. And I also guarantee you, you're not going to like it. Cling to what is good. In order to cling to what is good, you first of all have to recognize what is evil and separate yourself from it. Amen. Even if nobody else does, even if nobody else understands why you do. Like she did. Ever since Kamala Harris kicked Jesus and two Christians out of her campaign rally in La Crosse, Wisconsin last October the 19th, she's been going on a tour of all kinds of churches in the South, trying to convince Christians that she's one of the faithful, and especially black Christians, because she especially needs their vote in order to win. So the next day after that rally in La Crosse, Wisconsin, on Sunday, October the 20th, she showed up at the New Birth Missionary Baptist megachurch in Atlanta, Georgia, a church that's kind of woke because the pastor there, Jamal Bryant, is now trying to get young black men into the church by starting a pot farm and growing legal weed. So Kamala should have felt right at home. And there's Kamala Harris walking in during the worship time. And, of course, everybody's going gaga. Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States. And they're all taking pictures and taking selfies. They're all bowing and scraping. People, that wasn't a church service. It was a political campaign rally. So where's all the squawking about the separation of church and state? Well, again, that doesn't matter when a leftist is doing it. And there's part of what Kamala Harris said during her sermon. Trigger warning.
Remember that while weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning. Thank you. May God bless you. May God bless the United States of America. Thank you all very much.
Pandering again and trying to sound like a Southern black pastor. And there's part of what Pastor Jamal Bryant said about Kamala Harris.
This man from the White House, he goes to Esther and says to Esther, who knows, but you were born for such a time as this. Can I just preach to the vice president? Who knew that 60 years ago today, you were born to be president? You were born to lead a nation. You were born to change the trajectory of democracy. Who knows? But you were born for such a time as this.
So Kamala Harris is the new Esther because God raised her up for such a time as this to be president of this country and save her people from annihilation. But the question is, annihilation from what? Because the only annihilation placing black people in America today is abortion. That's murdered over 20 million black babies since 1973. Abortion that Kamala Harris has built her entire campaign on. People, Kamala Harris is the most anti-faith presidential candidate in the history of our country. So how can a Baptist pastor not only let her preach a sermon in that church, but then get up front and say Kamala Harris was chosen by God to lead this country to greatness? Talk about a hypocrite. Talk about selling your soul. How much money did the Harris campaign pay your church pastor? What kind of deal did you make with the devil? How can you just go along with that? Because Kamala's not Queen Esther of Persia. She's the great whore of Babylon. Now that is what the leftist media wanted you to see. There's what the leftist media didn't want you to see. While Kamala Harris was bloviating in her sermon, all of a sudden the woman in that church stands up and does this. She started yelling, "This is sacrilege. The Holy Spirit is here. This is sacrilege. The Holy Spirit is in this place." And because she wouldn't stop, the police that were there because of Kamala Harris escorted her out of the building. Another Christian getting kicked out of a Harris rally. This is getting to be a thing. Now compare that to what Donald Trump said about people who come to his rallies.
At Trump rallies, we don't tell Christians to get lost. We tell Christians to get out and vote.
And Donald Trump doesn't speak in churches, but this is what he says over and over again, every place he goes on the campaign trail.
And God has now spared my life. It must have been God. Thank you. Not once, but twice. And there are those that say he did it because Trump is going to turn this state around. He's going to turn this country around. He's going to make America great again. And maybe. And we're going to bring back religion into our country.
People, that's not pandering. That's not an act. That's not switching up accents. That is a genuine work of the Holy Spirit in that man's heart and life. So let me ask you, why shouldn't we cling to what Donald Trump is saying and doing and run away from what Kamala Harris is saying and doing? Now, to this day, that woman has never once identified herself. That woman that stood up in that church has never put anything about it on social media. Nobody even knows who she is. I barely found a picture of her. But what that shows you, folks, even in these last days with all the deception and churches that are nothing but a circus, there still really are some true believers in this country who have not bowed the knee to Baal or to the gods of this world. And can you imagine the pressure that woman was under? Seeing Jezebel up on that stage blaspheming the presence of the Lord in that service and spitting all over his word and the Holy Spirit convicting her to stand up and say something while the devil was telling her to stay in your seat and don't say anything, just go along to get along. But she went to church that morning to worship and to pray, and she saw a demon in that pulpit and she wasn't going to stand for it. So she didn't care about the glitz and the glamour and the star power of the Vice President of the United States. She didn't care that her own pastor was eating up with both hands. Somebody had to stand up for righteousness and holiness. Somebody had to stand up for the word of God. Somebody had to call out that abomination for what it really is, because there is no way in the world a woman like Kamala Harris, with her background and what she stands for and pushes, should have ever been allowed to preach in that church or any church for that matter. Amen. So that woman stood up and spoke up and she got kicked out. But at least God had a testimony in that dog and pony show. And she didn't do it for likes and follows on social media. She did it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christians, listen to me. She did it to cling to what is good. To do that, you first of all got to recognize what is evil and separate yourselves from it. And Christians, if the Church of Jesus Christ in these last days, when time is so short, is ever going to do what we need to do, stand in the gap and lift up the light and call people to salvation in Jesus Christ with a message of repentance and faith, you've got to do exactly the same thing. Which means, you've got to draw a line. You've got to draw a line right down the middle of your church. You've got to draw a line in your marriage. You've got to draw a line in your family. You've got to draw a line where you work. You've got to draw a line where you go to school. You say, this is the line. I'm not compromising. I am not crossing over. I am not going the way of the world. I have drawn a line and I will not cross it. Because right is on this side, wrong is on that side. God is on this side, the devil is on that side. Jesus Christ is on this side, the Antichrist is on that side. Life is on this side, death is on this side. I've drawn a line, I am not crossing over. Even if your pastor does, you're not crossing that line. Even if the rest of your whole church does, you are not crossing that line. Even if your parents or your kids or your spouse do, you are not crossing that line. Even if everybody else at work does, you are not crossing that line.
Right.
even if all the other kids at school do, you are not crossing that line. There are things that you will not do, you will not tolerate. You are not crossing that line. And if they hate you and troll you and slam you and ghost you, praise God, at least you know you got the right enemies. You draw a line and you do not cross over. Election 2024. Next picture. Two very, very different candidates. Two completely different visions for our country. Two very different agendas for the future of America. And our nation divided right now more than any other time in the history of America. And do you know why that is? Because whether people realize it or not, God has already drawn a line. He's already drawn a line between the right and the left. You know what? God really did raise up Kamala Harris for such a time as this. But not to lead this nation and not to save this nation. Because her being raised up, the President of the United States has taken all the leftism and all the wokeism and all the progressivism and all the evil that's associated with her and that she represents and pushes. And it's brought it right to the forefront. It's exposed it all. It's brought it right out in the open more than ever before. So Kamala Harris running for president has exposed it and made it clear for everybody. And why? Because God right now is telling this nation to make a choice. One last choice, once and for all. Either right or left. Luke chapter 2, verse 35. And the attitudes of men's hearts shall be revealed. It's either right or it's left. Now, if America gets this wrong this coming Tuesday, that means judgment for sure. And it'll be more than deserved. But before America makes that decision this coming Tuesday, every single one of you has to make that decision in your own mind or your own heart. And listen to me. Time is way too short and the judgment of God is way too fierce and there is way too much at stake for you to get this wrong. God has already drawn a line. And the most important question of all, what side are you on? Let's pray. Once to every man and nation comes a moment to decide in the fight for truth or falsehood, for the good or the evil side. Lord, America right now is facing the most important decision, Lord, in the history of our country. Are we going to go with you or are we going to go with the devil? Are we going to see salvation? Are we going to see revival in this country? Or are we going to see ruination? Just ask and pray for every single one of us here, Lord. We made that commitment. So many of us here are already Christians. Lord, I pray that we would stay faithful to that commitment that we've made to you. Lord, not just as an American, but especially a disciple of yours. I just pray for this nation, Lord, that it would make one last time before the rapture comes, the right decision when it comes to this presidential election. God, please spare us. I know we do not deserve it. Please spare us, Lord, one more time, one more reprieve. And I pray for every single person here that's making that decision about where they stand. I pray for somebody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior. They're not a Christian. Lord, you've drawn a line. There's one side is the saved and the other side is the lost. And there's no crossing over without repentance and faith in Jesus. Just pray for people here today that don't know you, that they would make that commitment today. God be with us. God, please be with us. All these things we ask in your name and thank you. Amen.